This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we'll start today with a look at a Massachusetts ballot question that's getting some national attention. This November, voters will be asked whether the state should repeal a 2016 law that added gender identity to the list of groups that are protected from discrimination when using public accommodations, such as bathrooms, locker rooms, restaurants, or other places open to the general public. Now, if the law were to be repealed, Massachusetts would become the first state in the country to repeal legal protections for transgender individuals. And we'll talk with representatives from both sides of this issue in just a moment. But first, a new WBUR poll conducted by the Mass Inc. Polling Group is giving us an initial look into how voters feel about the issue right now. And Steve Cazella is president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group, and he joins us to go over the results. Hi there, Steve.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you. So let's get right to the data. Specifically, first, what did you ask the folks that you polled, and what were some of the numbers that you got back?
Yes, we asked about the idea of repealing the law, repealing the transgender public accommodations law, and we found 38% would support the idea of repealing the law, 52% would oppose repealing the law. So just about 52% think that the law should stay on the books.
Okay. And so is that strong support and strong opposition on either side, or were a lot of the respondents sort of in the middle range of their support or opposition?
Yeah, I mean, we had more, I think, strong opposition than we had strong support. So about 4 in 10 say that they strongly opposed the idea of repeal. Only about a quarter said that they strongly supported the idea. You know, I think what we have to keep in mind here is that voters just haven't had as much time with this issue to really make up their minds. You know, this isn't something like same-sex marriage where we've been having the public debate about it for decades. It's been on the Massachusetts agenda for a long time, and voters have really had an opportunity to turn it over in their head. This is something where I would say public opinion is still fluid. We should still expect it to change going into the fall or even after the fall as well.
Interesting. So, and when you break down the respondents demographically, were there any significant patterns that jumped out to you?
Yeah, some interesting ones. I mean, I think, as you might expect, we found a partisan divide, with Democrats much more likely to oppose the idea of repeal, where Republicans were a bit more likely to support the idea of repeal. We also found a relationship to education. So that's one that actually has also become related to partisanship in recent years, where people with less education were more likely to support the idea of repealing the ballot question. When you get up to people with advanced degrees, you've got only 22% saying that they would like to repeal the law, 69% who would oppose it. So definitely a break on education as well.
22 to 69%. Wow. Okay. Interesting. And so finally, this is the first polling data we've seen on this ballot question. And as you said, you expect things to be more fluid as the summer progresses and we get into the fall. But given what you just said about the demographic breakdown and how partisan politics have become in America, how much more fluid do you think it could get?
Well, I mean, it's not to necessarily say that numbers will change, but I think what I'd say is that it's an issue where voters could be open to persuasion, or at least open to learning more about the issue and potentially changing their mind. You know, there's some other numbers from national polling which have shown, for instance, that only 37% of people know or are aware that they know someone who's transgendered. Only 13% of people know that have a close friend or family who's transgendered. That's compared to 87% of people who know someone who's gay or lesbian. So again, as far as issues where that are often put together or often sort of put side by side, they really aren't in the same place as far as how much the public knows about them, how strongly they feel about them, and how much they know, you know, okay, I've got these values that I apply to many other things. This is how I should apply them to this issue, just because they really haven't had as much time to consider it.
Well, that's Steve Cazella. He's president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group, walking us through some of the numbers from the new WBUR poll out today about how Massachusetts voters feel right now about a ballot question coming up in November that seeks to repeal a 2016 law on public accommodations and gender identity. Steve, thank you so very much.
Glad to do it.
And we should say, if you hop over to WBUR.org, you can see more coverage of the poll results from WBUR. Well, let's turn now to folks who sit on both sides of this issue. First of all, Yvette Olanda. She is the campaign director for Keep Massachusetts Safe. They are leading the charge to repeal the state's law. Yvette Olanda, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us today is Matt Wilder. He's spokesman for the Freedom for All Massachusetts campaign, and they want to keep the 2016 Massachusetts law on the book. Matt Wilder, Welcome to Radio Boston.
Nice to be with you.
So, Yvette Olanda, let me just start with you. You heard the numbers that Steve Cazella gave to us. Most broadly speaking, 52% of voters currently oppose what you're trying to do, 38% support. What's your response to that, those initial numbers?
Well, I think just like you had, Mass Inc. said, there's a lot that people are open to about this. And we know that a lot of people don't know about this law, especially specifically this law in Massachusetts, separate from what the issue is. And that means that, we need to get out there and let people know what's going on and that this law actually is ripe for abuse because it was poorly written.
Okay, but so can I jump in here for a second? Sorry, as I knock my own microphone here. I mean, you said specific to what the law says versus the broader issue in Massachusetts. I'm not quite sure exactly how you tease those two apart because the law is designed to provide protections for transgender individuals.
So, yeah, I think what the issue is that there is a definition of gender identity is incredibly broad under this law. So it is how someone feels at that particular time. So at one point, they could be at home, feel as one gender, and tomorrow or even at work be another gender. So under that, it's self-identified. These are not people that have had any sort or under any kind of medical treatment necessarily or are necessarily, under any kind of treatment. And so when you have that, it's ripe for abuse with people that want to take advantage of that broad definition and prey on people in these spaces like locker rooms, restrooms, and fitting rooms.
Matt Wilder, let me get a response from you about what you just heard from Yvette Olanda.
Well, first of all, I would just say that I think Yvette makes a great point that people who don't know transgender people might think that. The truth of the matter is once you get to know and understand what being transgender is all about, you have a better appreciation for what that transition is like and what that journey is like. And certainly I think the transgender people that I know, I'm not transgender, but the ones that I know, want to just go about living their lives like everyone else, like you and I. And they want to be able to go to the mall, and they want to be able to go to the movies, and they want to be able to go to hotels and not feel discriminated against. Mm.
But that's not what our campaign is about. Our campaign is about safety for all citizens in Massachusetts. And because the broad definition of the law, somebody can stalk a woman in a restroom or a child in any of these accommodation places.
Do you have numbers on how, if that's happened in Massachusetts?
I have specific examples. I have very specific examples. In Plainville, there was a man a woman complained about a man in the restroom. It turned out he had been there for 30 minutes stalking her. She made a complaint to the security and they said, sorry, our store policy is we can't do anything because the policy followed under what the law would provide. And
so this
in
happened
Hanover,
after the law was passed?
Yes, this is within the last year. So, and then in Hanover, police arrested a man from from Massachusetts' most wanted list who stalked a woman and photographed her in a Target dressing room, just was in the next to them, to her stall, and looked over and basically took pictures.
So let me just
Bellingham, another example.
Examples. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but it seems as if in each of those cases, though, someone felt unsafe and reported it to someone.
And there was nothing that could be done because it could be, under the law, it's considered harassment. If the person says, all you have to do is ask them, are you, what is your gender? And whatever if they say that they are that gender that they identify with, then there's nothing that can be done because they are then harassed.
Matt Wilder?
Magnet, first of all, a crime is a crime. And this law that's in place now doesn't change that. The rest of the story that Yvette doesn't tell you is that in Plainville, the man was actually arrested and charged and is going through the criminal justice system, as he should be. A crime is a crime. And this law that's in place, which has been in place now for almost 2 years, has really not changed that. Nothing has been diminished. It has made more people safe. It has made transgender people safe, who are often the targets of discrimination by people who don't understand what it means to be transgender. And so that's why this law is so important. It puts those protections in place. It allows people to go about living their lives just like we all want to.
Yvette, did you want to jump in here?
Sure. Yeah. I just wanted to say that everybody is vulnerable under and unsafe under this law, the way it is written. And if people want to be protected, it's up to the legislature to write a better law so that everybody is protected.
So, I mean, but what I'm about to ask something that's taking us beyond the purview of what's the November ballot question would be, but what specifically would you want changed in the law?
Well, for instance, that there could be a definition of, well, there were amendments made when this was being passed, and they to specifically the O'Connell amendment that was going to prohibit sex offenders from being able to be exempted from this definition. And they specifically did not pass that amendment. So none of these amendments that were offered to protect people were taken up. And so it's the law, we can only repeal the whole law. We can't fix the things that we don't like about it. So it's up to the legislature to go and make sure that when this is repealed, they write something that protects everyone, all vulnerable people.
Matt, let me ask you about that, because it sort of circles back to Yvette's initial point that her question committee takes issue with how broadly defined the law sees transgendered individuals. Just what's your response to that?
Well, I think at the core of this, what this law is really about is making transgender people in general just more inclusive and accepting and accepted in our society. And so I think that's what we have to really think about when we think about this law. Being transgender is a journey. We all understand that. And it's okay to not be as aware about it. That's okay. We're all learning. And I think this gives us an opportunity to do that and to understand what it means to be transgender, what that journey is like, particularly for young children. What kind of state do we want to be? Do we want to be a state that is really leading the charge on being a safe and accepting place? I think it's important to underscore something you said earlier. This will be the first vote in the nation by a statewide electorate to repeal existing protections for transgender people. And this is going to send a signal to the country. If the opponents can win here, they will use that as momentum to roll back protections elsewhere.
Yvette, what do you think about that?
Again, I want to say that when there was an opportunity to make this law safe for everyone, they didn't take advantage of that. And that's why we have to repeal it. We need to go back to the drawing board and write up a law that will protect people and make people feel that they are accommodated and safe.
So if I may, I hear your argument about safety, but I have to say, I feel like over the course of U.S. history, we've heard a similar argument deployed, whenever discriminatory laws or practices were trying to be justified, like segregation was in part long
and that
kept
was targeted
in law
specifically at the protected group. We're not talking about the protected group in this.
Boogeyman of safety, though, is what keeps getting deployed. I mean, the president's talking about immigration, saying that like immigrants are all criminals and our neighborhoods are unsafe. I mean, it's sort of the same thing without sort of showing that like there are significant numbers of people who are behaving in unsafe ways. It's a kind of a blanket
argument. Again, it's
argument.
About the law, how it's written. And that's why I say you have to separate it out from whatever the broader issue is. Because when you look at when someone does want to be protected, they have no recourse to protect themselves and therefore are victimized. Because, again, the woman tried to make a complaint about this person who clearly was abusing the definition of the law. And there was nothing that could be done.
The police were
called for 30 minutes.
He was arrested.
He was there for 30 minutes. Yeah, and he still was there for 30 minutes, and he still was able to photograph her because he had access to do that.
Which is
a
crime.
That's the issue. Yeah, and that what gave him the access was the broad definition of this law, where he was there for 30 minutes. Had there been an ability to go to that criminal and say, you know what, you can't be here in this space, you are endangering someone, they couldn't do that because the store policy is that would be found harassment under the law. So the store policy then it intimidates people who want to protect themselves the way it's written.
Well, I would just say, Meghna, there are 18 other states in the country that have these protections. Massachusetts has now almost had these protections for 2 years. There are municipalities in the state that have had these for over a decade, Boston among them. And we have just not seen the picture that Yvette and Keep Mass Safe are trying to paint. And so I think
has been pointed out,
if I could just finish, if you don't mind, is that this is not real. There's really no data to back this up. There's one kind of tangential mental story, which in the end, the person was arrested as he should have been.
I gave three examples just in Massachusetts, and there are examples all over the place.
And in how many of those cases was the person arrested?
It doesn't matter if they're arrested, they're still a victim. So the thing is, we want to prevent crimes. It's the same as if you would bring up gun control. You want to not have guns.
No doubt about it. I think you and I agree on that. We want to prevent crimes, but nothing about this law, which is going to be on the ballot in November, would prevent those crimes. Those crimes would still happen.
The amendments that were offered were actually declined, which means then that that is the problem with the law.
I don't think the criminal is going to be looking at the amendments.
What about the times where transgender individuals feel unsafe because they have to use the bathroom that's opposite of their gender identity and they could be attacked, ridiculed, stalked, whatever?
Absolutely. And we want safety for everyone in Massachusetts. That's why it is up to the legislature to go back and fix this, because it doesn't protect the most vulnerable people.
But repealing this law does not do that.
Well, this is one of those situations where I don't want anyone to think that one person gets the last word over the other. So I'll have last word and say we will definitely return to this conversation, obviously multiple times between now and November, because obviously it's an important issue for many people in Massachusetts. So let me thank Yvette Olanda. She's campaign director for Keep Massachusetts Safe. Thank you so very much for coming in. And Matt Wilder, spokesman for the Freedom for All Massachusetts campaign, thank you as well.
Thank you.
And folks, send us a tweet at Radio Boston and let us know what you think about this ballot question. You're going to have to decide on it in November. Again, we're at Radio Boston. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.